2 Peter chapter 1. We've just been thinking about going and growing. That was very helpful. Thank you, Anna. Genuine question for us all. Are you growing as a disciple of Jesus? Genuine question. Are you growing as a disciple of Jesus? Do you want to grow as a disciple of Jesus? Is that something that's on your radar, something that's part of your expectation? Do you want to grow as a disciple? Do you want to know and experience more of God's grace as a disciple of Jesus? These are really big questions that we're going to come to again and again through the book of 2 Peter. We're starting our series today looking at the book of 2 Peter, and it's written by the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' friends, one of his original disciples, and I reckon he's the disciple that we most easily identify with. I most easily identify with Peter. He was a hard-working fisherman. That's not what I identify with, but he was a hard-working fisherman, and from time to time, he said stupid things. That's what I identify with. And his friends, the gospel writers, really helpfully recorded some of the stupid things that Peter said, and they've been passed on in the gospels for millennia now. So he must be stoked about that. Not only did he say stupid things, but his sin, his big sin of publicly denying Jesus, that's been recorded for us too, hasn't it? Denying Jesus, abandoning Jesus in his hour of need. As Jesus was facing execution, Peter says, nah, never knew the guy, never knew him. Peter writes this letter decades later. He writes this letter as someone who knows grace. Someone who knows grace. He sinned dreadfully, but he was forgiven and restored by grace. And more than that, he was given a job to do, the role of an apostle. It was his job to bear witness to Jesus and the grace of Jesus across generations. And so we have Peter's letter. He is someone who knows grace, and he's written a letter to help us to see and to know and experience the grace of God too. So this is Peter's second letter. In his first letter, Peter, he wrote to churches that were facing really deep trials and persecutions. And in their trials and persecutions, he told them, hold on to Jesus. He is your eternal hope. He is the hope that you look forward to even in the darkest times in this life. He's the only security we can have in the face of trials and persecution and tribulation. Because he has given us a new birth into a living hope and an inheritance that can never fade. Now, the churches that Peter were writing to were facing persecution from the Roman Empire, from the Jewish leaders, from the people in their own communities. They were being hated, they were being arrested, they were being executed. And Peter says, hold on to hope in the Lord Jesus, because that's the only hope that will withstand the storm. But in this second letter that Peter writes, he shifts and he speaks about the dangers, not dangers from outside, not dangers from the Roman Empire, but dangers inside the church. False prophets, false teachers, ministers who lead their church astray, who lead their church into danger. These are potentially Peter's last recorded words. These are his last words to the sheep that he was shepherding, to his flocks, the churches that he loved. He knows he's going to die soon. We see that later on in chapter 1. And so he's desperate to remind the churches that he loves to stick with Jesus, to stick with the truth that they've heard about Jesus, to reject false teaching and to keep going and growing. I can imagine him having that little sign, grow, 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 to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We're going to look at just this first section of chapter 1 today. But before we do, I just want to have a little word about grace. Grace comes up so much in this book. Grace comes up so much that I want to make sure that we're all on the same page in what Peter's talking about here when he says grace. Grace is God's free gift of salvation and transformation. Grace, God's free gift of salvation and transformation. And so across this letter, Peter's talking about how we know, and go, and grow. This transformative work of God's grace in our lives. So we're going to look at our passage today under two headings. We're going to think firstly about being covered by the grace of Jesus, the benefits that God has given us in the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, we're going to think about living out the grace that Jesus has given us, how that shapes life. So I'm going to pray for us and we'll dive into this passage. Heavenly Father, thanks for bringing us together this morning. Thanks for your word. Please open our eyes to see the wonderful things you've written here. Open our hearts to hear and see and know and experience the love and grace of the Lord Jesus. Please transform us and grow us. Keep growing us like him. Amen. Well, firstly, let's think about what Jesus has done for us. Been covered by his grace. That's our first point, covered by the grace of Jesus. In verse 1, Peter talks about who he's writing to. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Notice how Peter describes who he's writing to. He's probably writing to the same churches in modern-day Turkey that he wrote to his last letter. But he describes them as people who have received faith, who've been given faith as precious as the faith that Peter and the other apostles have. A precious faith. You see, Peter is saying here that faith, their faith, our faith, is a gift from God. I don't know if you've thought about this, but we don't come to God and believe in him out of our own wisdom or out of any kind of goodness inside of us that leads us to believe in God when other people might not. There's nothing in us that makes that happen. It's God's gift. It's God's gift. Faith is a gift. And the faith that God's given us is just as precious as what he gave to the apostles, to Peter and James and John and Paul. Even if you feel weak as a Christian, and don't we all? Even if you feel weak in your faith is no less precious in the eyes of God. Peter is writing here to people who have got the same status before God as the apostles. And he's also writing to people who enjoy the same blessings that the apostles have. He talks here about grace and peace. See there, verse 2? He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. I reckon this phrase, grace and peace, it's used throughout the New Testament. And I think we get very familiar with it. And it kind of loses its impact. Peter is saying here. Let's think about this for a moment. Grace and peace. Peter is confident that the grace and peace of God, the grace that led the Lord Jesus to die for us, the grace that led the Lord Jesus to seek and save lost people, the grace that God has poured out, oceans of grace, is available for all Christians. Oceans of grace. We are covered by the grace of Jesus. We are dipped in the grace of Jesus. We are bathed in the grace of Jesus. And not just grace, but peace, he says. The peace that comes with having Jesus as our shepherd. We're safe in the arms of Jesus. This is what's available to Christians, grace and peace. And these things, they don't just come to us as like warm, fuzzy feelings. They come to us as we know God. See there, verse 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's saying here that the more that we know God, the more that we know the Lord Jesus, the more that we know his character, what he's like, the more that we know about his power, the more that we know his promises, then the deeper our experience of his grace will be and his peace. He says here, it's an abundance of peace. And I think we know this to be true. When we know Jesus and we know what he's done for us and we know his love for us, doesn't that give us peace? Even in the face of trials? And the implication here is that when we forget about God and we forget and ignore him, then there's going to be less peace. Because that's when the troubles of our lives, which are always there, the troubles of our lives will just take over and we'll trouble our soul and we'll feel crushed and we'll feel rejected and dejected until our eyes are again lifted to Jesus and we see him and remember his promises and take refuge in his peace. Peter's not saying here that all of our problems will be solved. Far from it. That only happens when we're raised again. But he is saying that grace and peace are promised to those who trust, to those who know the Lord Jesus. Grace and peace. But there's more than that. There's more, because he then goes on to say that we are connected to Jesus. Have a look there in verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him. See that knowledge again? The more that we know him. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. If you want to know how to live a godly life, it comes through knowing God. Because the more that we know God, the more that we know what he loves. And we will come to love the things that he loves. And the more that we know him, we'll know what he hates, and we'll come to hate the things that he hates. The more that we know him, the more that we'll be shaped by him. Our mind, our character will be shaped by him. But more than that, on top of even that, he says we get to share in the divine nature of God. See verse 4? It says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Christian brothers and sisters, this is you. This is you. You are connected to God's divine nature. You are given the right to participate, he says, in God's divine nature. And it happens, it's now. It's not in 5 years' time when you finally get your life in order and clean up all the mess and finally deal with all of the things that... No, it's now. This is you. On the surface, you might feel like life is a disaster. You might feel like you are a disaster. Peter knew that feeling, didn't he? But underneath, you are connected to the divine nature of God. You are plugged into the source of life. You are plugged into the source of goodness and glory. You're plugged into the source of righteousness. You've been rescued from the polluting, infecting corruption of this world, and you're joined to God in heaven. That's you. This is who we are. This is who we are as we come to know God. He transforms us to be like Him. This is the work of God's grace in your life. This is who God has saved us to be. We've been given a precious faith. We've been covered in grace and peace, and we've been connected to Jesus. And now, Peter tells us, live like that. Live like that. Live out the grace that God has given you. That's our final point. Verse 5. Let's have a look at there at verse 5 to 7. For this very reason, he says, so that is because we've been connected to Jesus, live like it. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. Now, on the surface here, it looks like Peter's saying, you've been saved by grace. Now go at it and do all this work yourselves. That's what it can look like. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you have been saved by grace. You have been connected into the source of life. God's transforming grace is at work inside of you. You are connected to the Lord Jesus. So the natural result of that is live like this. Grow like this. Keep growing. He lists out a whole range of characteristics that we might of what the Christian life looks like. And he says, make sure you keep growing in these things. Make sure you keep going, keep moving forward. It's like a cross-country race. You just don't stop. You keep going, adding to them more and more and more over time. Goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance, godliness, love. Have you been growing in these things, do you think? Do you want to grow in these things? Do you consciously look to grow in your Christian character? If God's Spirit is in you and you're connected to Christ, do you make conscious decisions to show that in your life? Peter says here, make every effort to show these things, to grow in these things. I think the illustration of the race is really helpful from the kids' spot earlier. Once we are saved, we don't just stop there and stay there. We grow. We grow right up until the moment when God calls us home. We keep growing. Maybe some of us might feel that we gave our life to Christ years ago and now that's it. That's all sorted. That's done and dusted. But Peter says no. He would say that if you haven't seen growth in Christ over the last 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, then there's a problem here. Or maybe some of us might feel that we've reached the level of maturity. We have made it. We've got there. That there's not much more for us to grow in. And again, I think Peter would disagree with that. He would say that if you don't feel like there are many areas for you to grow in as a Christian, in your character and godliness, that's not a sign of being mature. That's actually a sign of being immature. Because the more that we know God, the more that we'll see there are areas for us to grow in. The more that we know the Lord, the more that we'll see that the ways that our character doesn't match up to what He's called us to be. The more that we'll need to grow. And growth matters. Living out the grace of God in our life matters. Staying still, stopping, stagnating, that's a problem. That's not an option. It's a little bit like riding a bike. Maybe I should have got Elliot up to ride a bike for us as well. if you're riding a bike and you stop pedaling, what happens? You fall. That's right. If you're riding a bike and you stop pedaling, eventually you will fall. The way that you keep going, the way that you keep going on a bike is you keep pedaling. You keep going until you get to wherever it is that you're getting to. If you stop, you fall. And Peter's gives us a similar instruction here for the Christian life. He's saying you're connected to Jesus, the source of life. And so if you're not growing, then it seems like maybe you're not actually connected. If you stop growing and stagnate and just stop, maybe you're not connected to the vine, as Jesus says in John 15. Growth is necessary. He says that in verse 8 and 9, he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, so grow, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. If you're not growing, if you're stopping, if you're stagnating, it's a sign of danger. A sign that you're forgetting God. You're in danger of forgetting his work for you on the cross. A lack of growth, a lack of desire to grow is a dangerous sign. Are you growing as a Christian? Now, we need to see this and hear this call and take it very seriously. And we need to remember that this call to grow only comes in the context of people who have been shown the grace of Jesus. It only comes in the context of people who are being transformed by the grace of Jesus. Again, it's a little bit like riding a bike. If you look at one side of the bike as it's going, it looks like one leg is doing all of the work. But if you look at the other side, it looks like the other leg is doing all the work. As we live out the Christian life, it can feel like we're doing all the work of growing. But you know what's happening on the other side? God is doing all of the work of bringing growth in us because we're connected to him. He's the source of our life. He's the source of our maturity. He's the source of our growth. But we get the privilege of working with him. He works in us. We also work. He pedals, so to speak. We also, in some manner, pedal. He's doing most of the work. Let's be honest. He's doing most of the pedaling. It's like a tandem bike where the person at the back really pushes hard. That's what God is like. That's what growth is like in the Christian life. It's totally dependent on the grace of God. On the grace of God. Verse 10 and 11. Have a look there. Peter says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is saying here, for those who are saved, they are the people that God has already chosen, he has elected, and he has worked by his grace in. Now, keep living out the grace to show that you're one of the ones who was chosen, to show that you are one of the ones who was elect. The people who are elect by God are the ones who continue going and growing until the very end. And so Peter says, keep at it. Just keep at it. Keep going. Keep growing. Keep trusting in the Lord Jesus. Keep living for the Lord Jesus. Keep depending on his grace and mercy. If you were trying to do this on your own, you would fail miserably. If you were trying to keep all this up on your own strength, it would be crushing. It would be crushing. But we do this in the strength of the Lord Jesus, don't we? He is the source of our life. He is the one who works in us. He is the one who is transforming us. And he's the one who will welcome us, who will welcome us into his eternal kingdom at the end. Don't we all need grace? I need grace. You need grace. As we go through the book of 2 Peter, we are going to see again and again, we're going to be reminded again and again to depend entirely on the grace of the Lord Jesus. And to keep living that out, growing in that day by day, week by week, trusting that God is good, that he loves us with a love that will never break, and that one day he will welcome us home with open arms. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words of encouragement and words of warning. Help us to hear the encouragement and warning together. Help us to depend totally on your work of transformation, and also to keep working at growing in our faith, coming to know you more, spending time hearing from you so that we know your character and we are transformed to be like you. Lord, help us not to despair. Help us not to attempt this on our own. Help us not to try and grow and live for you on our own strength, but to cast ourselves on the mercy and grace of Jesus. Amen.